Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Craig Bowes. I'm serving as your liturgist this morning. If you're visiting with us today, we're so delighted that you have chosen Asbury as a place to worship. Before we begin the service, I want to draw your attention to the announcements section of the bulletin right here. And I want to let you know that the Faith Family Dinners are continuing on Wednesday evening. They've been attended well. We just want to ensure that you take a moment, fill out the slip on the inside of your bulletin. It lets us know how much food to prepare for all of our members and guests. Also, following Wednesday's dinner, the Lenten Bible study will continue. Pastor Mary will be teaching the book of Acts. This will be the only class as Pastor Doug has postponed the study of Galatians until a later date. Please email Pastor Doug if you'll be attending class on Wednesday. Also, ACCDC summer registration will begin tomorrow, March 5th. So if you have children up to the age of 5, want to put them into the ACCDC summer program, please do this quickly because spots will fill up fast. Also, next Sunday, March 11th, we have some families here who are going to have some special music for Divine Services. If you can, please take a moment during the service to fill out the attendance pads. They're sitting on the inside pews. Pass those down to the end and back so that the ushers can collect those. We like to keep track of our attendance and want to follow up with you. And I also want to invite our guests to join us in the WAC at the conclusion of the service for coffee and refreshments. And also, we want to take the opportunity to meet you as well. Finally, take a look at the back side of the bulletin. Look at all the things that we have taking place here in the life of our church this week. And at this time, I ask that you all please pass the peace of Christ. Please stand for the call to worship. We turn our eyes up to the hills.
Where does our help come from?
Our help comes from the Lord.
The mighty.
Let us reach out to the Lord, our God.
Yes, let us reach out to our salvation.
Please remain standing for the hymn of praise, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, on page 154 in your hymnals.
Oh,
Let us prepare our hearts with an affirmation of faith from 1 Corinthians. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved.
Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and prepared for the women, and to Peter, as well, and then to many witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God is pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is at the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross, reconciles all things to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys sounded so good. I loved hearing those songs. I know you know. Y'all were really good. Let me ask you something. I have something at my house that I can't really replace. It's one of my favorite things. I couldn't bring it today to show you because it's a piece of furniture. It came from my grandmother's back porch. It's the first thing that you see that when you walk in my house because it's really special. Couldn't replace it. There's no amount of money that I would sell it for. It's one of my favorite things. Do you guys have favorite things? What's your favorite thing, Seth?
My favorite thing is all my Legos.
All your Legos. Okay, Jimmy, what's your favorite thing?
My family and my mom.
Yeah, those are really, really priceless, aren't they? Anybody else have family have favorite thing? What's your favorite thing? Your pets. Oh, good deal. Anybody else have a favorite thing? A toy or a doll or a baseball or... Lexi, what's your favorite thing? Your American Girl dolls. Those are really special, aren't they? Well, let me ask you something. Your Legos and your American Girl dolls. If your best friend came to your house and asked you for those things, would you give them up? Would you give them away? Some? Okay. Some maybe you'd share? Okay. That'd be hard, wouldn't it? To give away your favorite things. Well, you know somebody in the Bible that...
I'm going to be afraid of my thing.
You are. Okay. Well, there was somebody in the Bible that did give away one of their favorite things. Remember the story of Lazarus and his family, Mary and Martha, were some of Jesus' best friends? And Jesus went to their house one day, and Mary had a bottle of oil, and it smelled so pretty. And she used it to wash Jesus' feet with. It was her most prized possession, and she washed his feet with it because she wanted to give him his very best. Because Jesus gave us his best, didn't he? What did he give us? What did he give us? Well, he gives us everything, doesn't he? He does give us everything, including his own life, didn't he? So that we could have eternal life. And you know what he wants from us? He wants our lives. He wants us to live our lives so that people see Jesus in us, so that we give him back our very best. Can we do that? Okay, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for giving us your life, your very best. Help us every day to live our lives as a very best example of your love. Thank you. Amen.
Before we lift our lives and prayers to God, I want to draw your attention to the prayer requests listed in your bulletin. And to that list, I want to add the family of Russ Melton and the death of his mother Friday. Let us pray. Our most loving Lord, we ask you to fill this room with your holy presence today. Let us hear your voice, feel your presence, and smell the very sweetness of your spirit here as you dwell this morning among your people. Father, we lift up a world that is hurting today. Evil comes all around us no matter which way we turn. Wars and rumors of wars seem to bombard us constantly. Remind us today that we are safe in the palm of your hand, and nothing nor no one can snatch us from your tender care and watch. We are also reminded to pray for those who have been affected by the recent rains. We thank you for the rain that will begin to nourish the flowers and the trees to bring forth new life in the season to come. Watch over those affected and bring those alongside of them in their hour of need. During this Lenten season, help us to keep our spiritual eyes and ears on our Savior. We don't understand the love it took to go to the cross, nor do we deserve that love. Keep us mindful of who we are in you. We pray this in the loving name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Let us now bless our morning offering. As we give of ourselves in worship this morning, let us be mindful of those who are not as fortunate as we give our tithes and gifts. May we extend a hand in love and in help to everyone who is in need, all the time showing them your kingdom and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
Please remain standing for the hymn of meditation, "Jesus is All the World to Me," on page 469.
Please be seated. Aunt Gail, I believe you woke them up. This morning we continue in our series, The Crucial Moments to the Cross. So let us turn to the Gospel of Mark, finding the 14th chapter, verses 3 through 9. May the people of God be inspired, comforted, challenged perhaps by this reading of Mark's Gospel, his 14th chapter, verses 3 through 9. And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. But there were some who said to themselves indignantly, "Why was the ointment thus wasted? For this ointment might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they reproached her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you will, you can do good to them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burying. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." The word of God for the people of God. I suppose I've always had a love affair with marble. I'm old enough to remember, collecting marbles. Some of them looked like a round version of glass from a kaleidoscope, the beautiful colors swirling inside. I grew up with my grandmother and my mother's marble pieces. They're in our home now, kind of mixed in with contemporary as well. When we moved a year ago, we're coming up on a year, March 21st, I was heartsick that the movers had not taken care of my mother's and grandmother's marble pieces, as I found several scratches that had not been there before. I was assured by a good friend of mine, Terry Collins, who I believe yesterday closed down her father's store, Morris Antiques, of 50 years, that I could take them to a certain place and see if they couldn't polish out those scratches. So that's on my list to do. There's something to me rather soothing about the smooth, elegant marble surface. In Jesus' day, the alabaster vessel most likely was imported, and imported from Turkey or Mesopotamia. It was described as a sedimentary gypsum rock, very expensive as it, again, was imported. Inside this marble vessel was the ointment or oil of a spikenard plant, which again was imported from likely India or Nepal. As these were expensive, we gather from Judas's estimate that Mary was throwing away an entire year's salary. For he said this was worth 300 denarii. And one denarii was one day's wage. Now, let's clarify. If you've done some study of the Gospels, you'll see that this is an important event, because we know it's important because all four Gospel writers have recorded it. But two in particular have caught my attention for a couple of reasons. Mark 14 has a couple of similar details as Luke 7. In both accounts, Jesus is in Simon's house, and in both, a woman anoints Jesus' feet. Simon was a common name. In the Luke account, this Simon dwelled in Galilee, in the Luke account. In our text today, Simon lives in Bethany. Because they are both named Simon, I believe that that might be why Mark gives us the added detail that this Simon was Simon the leper whom Jesus had healed earlier. In the Luke story, Simon despises the woman, who is obviously a woman of the night. And the Pharisees judge Jesus for even allowing her to touch his feet, for she was a sinner. Jesus uses this opportunity to teach the depth of forgiveness and tells the woman that due to her obvious understanding of who Jesus is and the love that she has for him as her Savior, Jesus declares her sins are forgiven, and then he releases her. He says, go in peace. In today's text, Jesus responds to the woman's anticipation of Jesus' pending death and upcoming burial by commending her in front of those who just deemed her act wasteful. And then he goes on to bless her and to honor her in the annals of history, that she will be a blessing and be honored for ages to come. Now, as we read this story, we often assume that this Mary is the Mary of being the sister of Martha and Lazarus, because this occurred in Simon's house of Bethany. As we know, Mary is even a more common name of that age than Simon. For instance, as we read throughout the Gospels, we know there's obviously Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. And then at the tomb, we find Joanna, and then it just says, and the other Mary. And then, of course, we read about Mary of Magdala, or Mary Magdalene. But we find our verification that this is more than likely Mary, the sister to Martha and Lazarus. And we do this not simply because this is staged in Bethany, but because of what John says in his gospel, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3, that a dinner was held in Jesus' honor where Martha served. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard and poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. It's Passover week. Jesus, Simon, and the disciples are gathered around a table in Simon's house. It is in Bethany. just a couple of miles away from the Mount of Olives. And just, again, near Jerusalem, which is on the other side, west of the mountain. Important to note is that Jesus and his disciples were near enough to Jerusalem to be in danger, but yet far enough away that they could be somewhat secluded, not to attract attention. And you get this idea that they want to be secluded as you read the two previous verses before today's text. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him, but not during the feast, they said, or the people will riot. There's a knock at the door. Again, they're close to Jerusalem. They don't quite know who and when they will be found. Simon gets up, opens the door. It's a woman. She has come and interrupted Simon's special dinner with his special guests. Mary more than likely was on a mission to seek Jesus. And she probably knew that he was there at Simon's house because people would have been talking on the streets. Jesus was somewhat of a celebrity. For weeks now, Jesus has been trying to prepare his disciples for what is to come. He's been trying to share with them that this might be one of their last meals. And you get the idea from some of the things that the disciples say that you and I might have said as well had we been among them, that they take Jesus just a tad for granted. And so as he basically hints to them, this is one of their last meals together. Don't you know they probably thought, oh, we've had 1,000 meals together. We're going to have 1,000 more. But the disciples seemed to be in a quarrelsome mood that day. Maybe they kind of knew that something was about to happen but couldn't put their finger on it. Maybe they were a little quarrelsome because they disagreed with some of the things that Jesus was saying. I mean, some of the things he was saying were kind of strange. As he was describing the end times, the sun, it will become darkened. The moon will no longer give light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the Son of Man will lift into the clouds of glory. And here they are. They don't quite know what to make of this moment. And then here's Mary. I mean, they like Mary, but what does she want? Mary had a distinct purpose for her visit. Can you imagine how she must have scrimped and saved for no telling how long to be able to afford something as extravagant that was worth an entire year's salary? You think about your entire year's salary. You think about what Joan was trying to say a while ago. What's your most precious thing that perhaps cost almost an entire year's salary? Or you value it as much, even though it doesn't really cost that, but you value it as much as an entire year's salary. And you think about who it is in your life or in your life of faith that you would be willing to part with that. She had scrimped and saved for this gift for a very special occasion, for a very special person, and now she had found the opportunity how she could express her love for Jesus in saving her, in giving her eternal salvation. She'd found the opportunity to show Jesus an extraordinary kindness, an extraordinary generosity for the abundant life that he was giving her. our stuff, this gift was the good stuff. It was not cheap. Now try to imagine, if you will, this alabaster jar. Think about how large it might be to hold something that's worth 300 denarii. And think about it being marble. What color marble is it to you? Is it white? Is it creamy? Is it got a little bit of brown to it, a little bit of gray? What does it look like in your mind? And we know historically that kind of vessel would have been carved, some kind of ornate carving to it. What's carved in your alabaster flask? So here she is giving this beautifully carved marble vessel, presenting it to someone who is the king and ruler of her heart, her Savior. In an act of great love for Jesus, Mary ceremoniously takes the vessel and breaks the seal and pours forth this fragrant, precious oil upon Jesus' head. And as we just read in John's account, also upon his feet. So do you get why Jesus says, she has anointed my body for burial? For she has truly and literally anointed him from head to toe. Wiping his feet dry with her hair. Have you ever had a moment when you felt so good about doing something and then somebody just spoils it? Well, if you've ever felt that, if you've ever experienced that, then here we are. Mary's just given the most expensive, the most extravagant, the most cherished gift that she has to the most cherished Savior that she knows. And guess what the background music is? The disciples grumbling. This is such a waste. It's easily a year's wages, which could have been money given to the poor. Now, who in the room do you think said that? This is an interactive moment of the sermon. Who? Judas. And why do we think it was Judas? Because he was in charge of the money. Tell them, James, what they got for their gift. You determined that this rebuke was from Judas. And John helps us out because he tells in his gospel that Judas was even known for dipping into the treasury from time to time. So, yes, money was the focus of Judas. Now, here we go. I hope that's not Judas. Judgment. Have you ever noticed how quick we are to criticize? And when we are doing that, it's most often related to flaws that we find within ourselves. Judgment, criticism. And Jesus says, leave her alone. The poor you will always have, but you will not always have me. Leave her alone. Now, as we think about this rebuking, this grumbling, and as we think about sometimes when we criticize, we're just really, you know, it's kind of in our face. Well, you're doing what I normally do, but I'm never going to admit it that I'm guilty of that too. Could it be that Mary had shown up the disciples? The disciples had been so caught up in their own little world. Judas was caught up in his money. The disciples were caught up in whatever it was that Jesus was trying to say, and they weren't getting it, so they were all caught up in their confusion. And they had taken Jesus for granted. They'd been consumed with fear. Now they seem a little bit angry at Mary. Perhaps they didn't think of doing this for Jesus themselves. I mean, the Gospels are kind of scant on details of how the disciples were showing their love for Jesus, demonstrating that. I don't know. Human emotion is hard to explain and even harder to justify. And add fuel to the fire. Listen to Jesus' response to the rebuke. Again, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you. You will not always have me. And this story will be told far and wide and will do much to promote the gospel. It will be done as a blessing in remembrance of her life. Wow. Jesus has never said that about any of them before. Can Jesus say that about you and me? Have we done anything for Jesus that will go along, that people will remember our lives for it? It's something to think about as we call ourselves disciples, as we say that we're obedient followers of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. What are we doing that people are going to remember? How are we continuing the legacy? Are our lives a living testament in reflecting the values and the obedience of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, His grace? This act by Mary for Jesus had impacted him in a very deep and meaningful way. Well, that's the story. Let's bring it on home. First, when it comes to giving, we need to think about why we're giving. To the church, to anybody. And then we need to think about if we're giving just enough to be noticed, just enough to meet the minimum requirement, just enough to get by. Or are we giving in the example of Mary to Jesus Christ? Giving extravagantly, giving abundantly. I mean, you're giving it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love exceedingly. Deuteronomy 15 teaches the very same thing Jesus was teaching the disciples. 15:10, give generously to all and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and to the poor. That's almost word for word what Jesus was saying to the disciples. You will always have the poor. Give to them. Once the seal of the nard vessel was broken, what do you think happened? Have you ever broken a bottle of perfume? Your bathroom or wherever you broke it, it smells like that for days. Once that seal was broken, the fragrance just filled the room. Much like the scent of the frankincense and myrrh that were presented to Jesus Christ as a newborn king. That was a precious memory. And now this similar fragrance of the spikenard plant was a precious present memory. And it was given in remembrance. What she has done will be done in memory of her. You know what I get from that? What I take away from that is what we do for others matters. We need to make it count. It needs to be done in the name of Christ. It may cost, but isn't that what following Jesus Christ does? Doesn't it cost you And if it doesn't, are you truly following Jesus Christ and following his ways? Secondly, we will not always have one another, so let us take care of the sick. We need to be quick to respond to those who are sick. The promptness of that response sends a message. So often we find ourselves rushing to the funeral home instead. I served a small town church 30 years ago. And it's gotten a little better now. But women pastors weren't quite as accepted, especially by the women in the church. They didn't know what to do with us. We were an oddity. But I just loved them anyway. And a lady from the church went to the hospital, and Tony's going to start laughing because he's going to know exactly who this was. And he's going to remember exactly when it happened. And a member of the church went to visit the lady, and she said, "Well, you want me to go tell the pastor?" And she goes, "No, she'll come." The shut-ins, the lonely. Have you ever thought about how many hours they sit in that chair just waiting for somebody to come visit them? So those words of Jesus ring true. You will not always have me with you. So part of my challenge to you today is, who are you going to go visit after church today? If you need a name, I can give you a whole bag full. And finally, we need to confess our sins and failings to God. Mary, like most of us, was well aware of her flaws and sins. She sensed time was running out with her Savior. She sensed that time was running short for her to repent and to show thanksgiving to Jesus for what he had done for her. You see, you have to remember, this Mary is the one that began listening about the truth of Jesus Christ, began listening about the new covenant law at his feet. And she didn't stop with that one lesson. She had been following Jesus wherever she could find him in a crowd and listening to his truth. And it was shaping her. It was shaping her heart. It was transforming her soul. It was filling her mind. It had changed her spirit. It had changed her values. God forgives our flaws and our forgetfulness and our hesitation, yes. Even when we've been too late. God forgives it because he's telling you and me today it's never too late to come to him and confess our sins and repent and receive his blessed grace. My prayer for all of us this Lent is pretty simple, and it's taken directly from the story. My prayer is that this Lent we commit to act. Like Mary, we seize the moment. We don't let it pass by. We don't get so distracted. We don't get too busy. We seize the moment to see the right thing and to do the right thing and to say the right thing. My prayer for Lent is taken from this story that we be gracious. Like Simon, who welcomed this interruption into his home. And all were blessed as they witnessed what transpired. And my prayer is all of us this Lent to follow Jesus' cue to affirm, to accept, and to champion those who give and give of their heart. As we enter this fourth week of Lent, commit some time in prayer to act, to seize the moment, and to champion someone or some situation. Let us pray. Holy God, we ask your Holy Spirit to pour out upon us in a healing balm. May your presence be an aromatic fragrance. May your presence be a breath of fresh air. And may we, your people, lift up others and avoid destroying their ideas, their hopes, and their dreams, as surely you lift us up in ours. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. This hymn of commitment today is Come We That Love the Lord, 732. There is a man that would be worshiping with us today if he could. This man is our brother in Christ, and he is dearly loved. And he greatly needs your prayers, as does his wife, Marjorie. I would hope that this prayer rail would be just chock full of those of you who will join me in prayer as Dr. Charlie struggles to be able to come back to be with you. Let us stand and sing now our hymn of commitment, 732. And I hope Aunt Gail has to play this song three times. God of blessing and grace, may we go forth in your love. May we go forth by the grace of your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. May we go forward in the peace and the sweetness and the counsel and guidance of your Holy Spirit this day and forevermore. Amen.